So, Bible geography, you should be familiar with at least some of the contents of Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 1, of course, is children, obey your parents in the Lord. And that's one that every parent should have well memorized and teach it to their children. And of course you have fathers provoking not to wrath, and servants obeying masters, and masters not threatening servants, and so on. But we have an extended section that is really a relatively well-known section, beginning in verse 10, where we have some discussion about the spiritual warfare that we as believers find ourselves participants in. And so again, famous passage starting at verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then he teaches about praying. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so here we have this extended illustration. And Paul is writing this, of course, when he was in prison himself. And no doubt he saw lots of Roman soldiers, one undoubtedly very close proximity, guarding him in prison. And so he would have had lots of opportunity to reflect on the armament of that soldier, and here, of course, the Holy Spirit directs him to use that as an illustration of the preparation that we are to take to ourselves to arm us for spiritual warfare. And, of course, he steps through the various pieces of armor, and the sword is a weapon. And then he concludes with these statements about prayer. And so our focus is going to be on the praying part of this. And you could look at it then as a consideration of prayer's part in spiritual warfare. And the title that I've given to our study is Battlefield Praying. So we would do well, I think, to allow the Lord to use a passage like this to remind us that we are on a battlefield. Remembrance Day is coming up. Got my poppy on. And our thoughts are directed in a national way to those that lost their lives in physical warfare. And I guess many of the ones that survived have passed away from old age. It's certainly Second World War. Many of them would have passed away already. But war is not a pleasant undertaking. And even for the victors, it is often not a pleasant undertaking, because the path to victory is full of obstacles and difficulties and hardships and hurt and casualties, right? I don't know of very many wars where the victor comes away totally undamaged. I think you do have some record of that as in the Old Testament of God's people and how they lost none in various conflicts, but in general, certainly there's a lot of pain that goes along even with victory. And as we think of spiritual warfare, I mean, that illustration, I think, is a good illustration. There is a conflict. There is an enemy. We, in ourselves, are outnumbered and out-strengthened or outmanned or whatever, outgunned. We, in our own strength, would totally fail, right? And that's why we are admonished in verse 10 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And again, even as you think of the armor, notice verse 11 describes it as the armor of God. And again, verse 13, the armor of God. And even later, when we see the sword of the Spirit, it is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, of course. And so it ought not surprise us then that very closely associated with this picture is this instruction about prayer. And so I think it is right for us to understand that this is to accompany all those other pieces of armor. The armor and our putting of it on is dependent upon our praying. You can't put it on without praying, and you can't successfully use it without praying, right? So prayer is a necessary part of putting on the armor and of doing battle with it, standing in that evil day. Prayer is a necessary part of that. And, of course, the battle setting reminds us that there is an adversary, and the adversary is identified in verse 12, well, actually verse 11, because we are to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then we are reminded that our wrestling on a spiritual level is not against flesh and blood, but there are these spiritual principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And so in a spiritual battle, especially in a spiritual battle, I mean, it would be true in a physical battle too, right? And you have probably more people praying on a physical battlefield than you have in the general populace, right? Battlefield praying. And certainly from a spiritual standpoint, if we are mindful of the fact that we are engaged in a spiritual warfare, if we are mindful of the fact that we have an adversary, and Peter, of course, describes him in his epistle as one walking about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So it's not a small adversary. It's not an insignificant adversary. It's a very strong and powerful adversary. And so praying is so very necessary. We really cannot afford to neglect it. I mean, here we are tonight, gathered as folks that attend this church, and we're here for a prayer meeting, a corporate prayer meeting, and we will spend time praying as a group. And very necessary this is. But not just as a group should we be praying, individually as well. Now, let us note then a few things about this, or at least we'll begin our noting of this. So, what is the time for our praying? Well, verse 18 says, praying always. Now, the construction of this expression is, it could be taken that we are to be praying always in the Spirit, so the always and the praying is associated, is very closely connected with the in the Spirit. In other words, it could be emphasizing that every time you're praying, you should be praying in the Spirit, and certainly that is true. But I think that there is a time reference here as well, right? The frequency, the occasion of our praying. And we have other passages that emphasize similar thing. For example, if you turn just quickly ahead to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, a very short verse, you actually don't have to turn there, but it says, pray without ceasing. And so to learn what it means to cultivate a continual communion with the Lord, a continual talking with Him, right? A continual consciousness of His presence, a continual consciousness of our dependence upon Him, and a continual availing of ourselves of His presence, right? And His wisdom and His strength by our petitioning of Him. So certainly specific times of praying are appropriate. The Bible gives us that by way of teaching, and we also have it by way of example. Even the Lord Jesus Himself would be found away from the crowds in times of prayer, where He Himself, as the Son of God, found it necessary to actually have specific time for praying. But beyond those times, I think we would really do well to try to cultivate this consciousness of the Lord and of our interaction with Him. The time for our praying is always. And especially when you remember that we're on a battlefield. Right? So if you were literally on a battlefield, right, you are at risk all the time. Right? There's the potential, there's the risk all the time. Right? Even when you're sleeping, there's risk. If you're on a literal battlefield, right? We saw a video that Lena had about the liberation of Holland, looking back to the Canadian effort in that battle. And, you know, these guys, you know, just slogging through the muck and digging trenches and laying down in the muck, you know, and you're low because the enemy's right there and their artillery and their, you know, shooting or whatever, right? You are always at risk when you're on the battlefield. So the time for our praying, always. Right? So not just because it says always, but because of where we are on a spiritual battlefield, and the enemy is not on holidays. The enemy is alive and well and wants to devour you. So the time for our praying is right now and always. It's interesting also that we are told of what I've referred to here as the director of our praying. And The phrase in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication, and then it says, in the Spirit. And so I think here there is this acknowledgement of the Spirit's role even while we are praying. We are told in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Right? So there is that role of the Spirit Himself functioning as an intercessor for us. So He Himself is praying also, which is a remarkable thought. Right? So we have the example of Christ when He's on earth praying to the Father. When the Spirit is making intercession for us, He's praying on our behalf. Right? And of course, that same chapter later talks about Christ being making intercession for us as well. So again, what a great blessing to know that the Godhead is praying for us. But I think what Ephesians 6 is pointing out to us is something more than just a reminder that the Spirit Himself would intercede for us. But that our praying should be in the Spirit, that is, acknowledging Him and directed by Him. Now turn to the passage in Romans 8, because I think there is something helpful for us here, especially when we think of this idea of allowing our prayer to take place in the Spirit. So in connection with the Spirit, in submission to the Spirit, in agreement with the Spirit, all of those kinds of ideas, I think, would be what is in view here. But what is the Spirit going to do? How would He direct our praying? What avenues and paths would He point us down in our praying? Well, verse 26 of Romans 8, I already read, and that talked about His intercessions. And verse 27 will tell us what is the nature of His intercessions. And He, that is the Spirit, He that searches, that would be God the Father. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Why? Because He, that is the Spirit, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Right? So it's according to God, according to His will, that the Spirit is making intercession. So, and obviously that makes sense, right? I mean, one member of the Godhead is not going to make a request that contradicts the will of the Godhead, right? That would be impossible. God couldn't do that. Right? So the Spirit Himself, when He intercedes on our behalf, is always going to make intercession for us, right? Making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And if we then are going to pray in the Spirit, if we are going to allow the Spirit to direct our praying, then we will also pray according to the will of God. And that, of course, I mean, the Spirit implicitly knows the will of God because He is God. So His will is the will of God. But for us to know the will of God, the Spirit has given us something, hasn't He? I mean, in addition to Him indwelling us, but even more so, the way the Spirit explicitly communicates to us is through the Word of God. So to be praying in the Spirit would be to pray in accordance with the will of God. And of course, that would be to pray in accordance with Scripture. So if our praying contradicts Scripture, if what we're asking for contradicts Scripture, it's not praying in the Spirit. It's not praying according to the will of God. So again, and we've mentioned this before, but it behooves us to be students of the Bible, because that's how you're going to know the will of God. And that is how we should direct our praying. Read your Bible. And as you're reading your Bible, be thinking about what it's informing you would be a right subjects of prayer. And again, that's not just the passages that specifically talk about prayer, but it's any passage that sets forth, you know, a command of God. I mean, even, you know, as we mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it talks about fathers not provoking their children to wrath. Okay, so when you read a passage like that, there's something to pray for. If you're a father, you could pray that the Lord would help you to not provoke your children to wrath, that the Lord would help you to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And if you're not a father and you're reading that verse, I'm guessing that you know someone who is a father. So you could pray it for them. In fact, when we get further on, we're not going to have time tonight, but verse 18, it's not just for ourselves that we're to be praying, but we're to be praying for all the saints. Right? So it's entirely appropriate for you as you're reading a passage, right? If you're thinking as you're reading, if you're thinking prayer as you're reading, the Lord can bring to your mind as you're reading about fathers teaching their children, a father that you know, and you can just right then pray for that person. Right? Pray that the Lord would help them be the father that God wants them to be. Right? So, again, this idea, praying when? What's the time? Always. Especially because it's battlefield praying. Right? There's real danger. There's real risk. Not just for you, but for that father that I just talked about. Right? You're not a father, but he is. Right? And so we need to be praying, and we need to be praying in the Spirit, which would mean submitted to Him, in keeping with His will as it's revealed in the Word of God, in dependence upon Him, allowing Him to direct our praying, yielding, not my will, but yours be done, all the while. So very, very helpful instruction here for us for battlefield praying. And Lord willing, we'll finish this out, or at least continue it, next time. So let's go to prayer.